Okay, this coming week we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Tetzaveh. It's also Shabbos Zohar, which of course presents all sorts of exciting opportunities here within the Torah reading. So we begin the Parsha with the discussion, V'ata Tetzaveh B'nei Yisrael, that you should command B'nei Yisrael. It's interesting, we use pronouns the entire Parsha. It's interesting to note that Moshe's name doesn't appear in this week's Parsha. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal explains that that's because Moshe Rabbeinu was the ultimate teacher of Torah. He literally gave up his individuality for the masses. Rav Asher Weiss Shalita mentioned to us that those who dedicate their lives for the Tzibur can take assurance that Hashem will cover their responsibilities, those for themselves and for their families. V'ata, if you have to go ahead and be a nameless individual because you aren't able to do what you need to do, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of you. So anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu was told to make Big Day Aaron L'chavodu L'sefares, for his honor and his glory. So did the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, or the regular Kohen, actually make the person himself? What does the Pasuk mean that you're going to do it for honor and glory? So Reb Chaim Yaakov Goldbach Zatzal, the famous founder of the Hesder Yeshiva movement, or Yeshiva of Karen B'Yavne, would regularly remind us that kavod is an outward expression of inward pride and respect. The clothes are not the reason or the catalyst for the respect. They're an expression and a highlight of the inside. If a person holds of himself, so in such a situation, he is able to express that kavod shamayim outward, the sense of the fact that he is a chelak elokam imal. Then we're also told in the parasha to make those different begadim. And of course, one of them is the me'il, the special cloak. And the me'il had gold bells on it. And the Rambam explains that the point of the bells was to create a noise in order to receive permission to enter. B'nishma kolo bevo'o el ha-kodesh. Why does the Kohen Gadol need permission to enter the Mikdash? And by the way, while we're at it, why doesn't the Kohen Hedyot, who did not wear the me'il, need the same permission? So Rav Shimshon David Pinkus Atzal answers that the Kohen Gadol symbolizes the avoda of the unique personalities of the Yechidei Segula, while the Kohanim derive their position as messengers of the nation. So if you want to place Srara or authority on a Tzibor, you need permission. And so to do that, we have bells only for the Kohen Gadol. He is the individual on top of the Tzibor, not just the Shlichim of the Tzibor, as the as the members of the Kohanim group were. Okay, then we're told in the place that I will go ahead and meet with you. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks what the Pasuk is adding in highlighting that Hashem has a place to rendezvous with us. So Shmuel Barenbaum Zatzal, the late Rosh Shiva, the Mir Yeshiva in Brooklyn, explains that the Torah is highlighting to us that in the same way that Hashem has a special place to meet with us, we too need a special place to meet with Him. We need a place where we can call out and pour out our hearts to Him. And that's the point of Asher Yivoed, the understanding that there is a Moed. And then we're told, V'yadu ki ani Hashem, they'll know that I am Hashem. Now, what is the intent of the additional knowledge? What extra knowledge are you going to have now that you have a Mishkan that you didn't know? Now they'll know about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, Rav Isaac Sher Zatzal explains that each of the previous miracles, the Makos, the Yamsuf, were temporary moments until the building of the Mishkan, which created a permanent Shifti B'Veis Hashem and a permanence for the experience of each of these miracles. And so therefore, now all of a sudden, that there is a complete and total purpose, now they will be able to experience V'yadu Ki'ani Hashem. They'll really understand the purpose with a certain degree of permanence. The Torah tells us also, V'ktir alav Aaron, Ketorah Samim Baboker Baboker. Last week we pointed out that the Mizbach HaKetoris was not in the regular Parsha of Truma. It appears in this week's Parsha, and Aaron HaKohen uses it to bring the Ketoris. So the Rambam points out that even a regular Kohen can offer the Ketoris. And if that's the case, why is Aaron specified in the Pasuk? So the Rambam explains that Aaron is to begin with the Ketoris and the Menorah. Why? So Rav Soloveitchik explains that the entirety of Kahuna begins with Aaron, and priestly activities, therefore, are best expressed when begun with Aaron as well. We're told in the Maftir that we read this Shabbos, we're told, Zachoris Asher Asolacha Amalek, Timcha Zecher Amalek, Mitachas HaShamayim Lo Tishkach. We're told to remember and wipe out Amalek from under the heavens. Now, what's the intent of these words? Why underneath the heavens and not above the heavens? So, Mori Virabi Rav Shechter Shlita quoted Rav Kook, who explained that there are objective positives from Amalek. After all, there are descendants of Haman who learned Torah in Bnei Brak. However, from our perspective, all of Amalek is evil, and so therefore they need to be eliminated mitachas hashamayim. We're not supposed to find reasons to show chemla, to show pity on Amalek. We're told mitachas hashamayim, not me'al hashamayim. And lo tishkach, don't ever forget that. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're going to understand the great challenge that Shaul HaMelech had when he was supposed to destroy the entirety of Amalek. We're told, Vayishama Shaul HaSa'am, Vayifkedem Batala'im. Shaul brought the people together and counted them via Tala'im. So the Radak explained that he counted them on Pesach, using the number of animals used for the Korban Pesach groups. Ergo, it seems that the people went to war immediately after the first day of Pesach. Why the connection between Pesach and the battle of Amalek? So the Bnei Yisachar explains that it comes from the reminder to remember Amalek on the path that it was on when you left Mitzrayim. There's a connection between Amalek and the Derech Betzeis Chami Mitzrayim. But Rabbi Yamin Eisenberg Shlita adds that this connection also explains why Esther chose to wait one extra day. Why did she make that extra mishta before putting her request to Achashverosh? She knew that Haman's ancestor Agag lost to the Jews on the day after Pesach, and thus she knew it was a day that the Jews could beat Haman again. We're living in periods in time where there are many, many descendants of Haman. Every person who's a Sona Yisrael has a bit of Haman inside of him, a bit of Amalek inside of him, says Mori Virabi in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. And so therefore, it's incumbent upon us to take the opportunity. One of the great things that we will see from the times of Yemos HaMashiach is that the Am of Amalek will be destroyed. May we be zochet to the opportunity to see that, and of course the fact that Mashiach Tzidkenu will come speedily in our days. Shabbat Shalom to all, and Chag Purim Sameach.